Well, hey, we don't have Summer Shoreline at Watermark Plano, so I'm pretty fired up to be here. How we doing, Dallas? Come on. We also have some Plano peeps in the house. Come on, where's Plano Shoreline? Wow, thank you. Thank you. There's two back there. There's a couple there. The rest are scared. That's okay. Hey, some of you I haven't met before, so I figured I'd show you a picture of my family because they mean the world to me. So here's my wife and my little baby girl, Reeves Marie. I'm a new girl dad. Here's the picture of her on 4th of July looking awesome. Wow. Look at her. She's so good looking. I love my family. I love getting to be a husband and a father. I also love sports. Okay. Anybody else love some sports? All right. I love ESPN. I wanted to watch the England game today versus Croatia. England lost. It was horrible. But hey, isn't it true that a lot of people, even us, maybe if we're being really honest, we look up to a lot of professional athletes. Would some of y'all say that, right? Well, I want to show you a video that I came across. And in fact, when I came across this video, I was scrolling through Instagram, which by the way, David's vacation, David Pinyol, Dave Pinnell. Does everyone know what he's doing? Because I've seen everything he's done. It's awesome, all right? Back to Instagram. I was scrolling, all right? And this video popped up, and I guess it was 420. I didn't know, all right? And we're covering, some of y'all don't know, we're covering all these topics, all right? Today is marijuana, okay? Everybody say it, marijuana, please. Thank you. I needed that. All right, so if you haven't come to Summer Shoreline, we're covering a lot of different topics. We've covered alcohol, cussing. Now back to the Instagram scrolling one more time, all right? And this video pops up. And I look below, and one of our high school guys has liked it. And I was like, what? And so I'm going to show you this video. But I text him, and we have a great conversation, and he didn't mean to. So that's what he said. I believe him. I really do. Let's watch this video, because a lot of people look up to professional athletes. Let me show you a video of professional athletes. Some of them you will recognize. Check it out.
Hey, BR. This is Al Harrington.
I'm John Moffitt.
This is Matt Barnes.
Hi, I'm Sean Smith.
This is Kenyon Martin.
I'm Ricky Williams.
I'm Evan Britton.
This is Katino Mobley.
I'm Ryan Clady.
I'm Bo Scape.
It's 420.
And I use cannabis.
And I use cannabis.
I support cannabis in sports.
I support cannabis.
I support cannabis
in sports.
I believe in cannabis as a powerful tool for athletes.
I don't know who that guy is.
I support cannabis in sports.
420 is the best.
All right. So much smoke. There's just more smoke on the screen. So that was a little Instagram thing. Like I said, he did not mean to like it. I believe him. It's true. All right. We had a good combo. But here's what that guy just said. He said, marijuana is the best. 420 is the best. Here's what I want you to hear loud and clear. The scripture says that God's ways are the best. All right. So we're going to look at it. We're going to look at this topic because it's a big topic. I think that culture is shouting at you right now that weed should be legal. It's not that bad. Come on. Who cares? In fact, there's 9 states in the U.S. that have already legalized it, all right? 2013, this is a cool stat, only 32% of people thought smoking weed was wrong, okay? So only 32%. Now, 74%, all right, of our generation think that weed is not morally problematic, meaning I don't really care. It doesn't really affect me. It might be good. That's what the culture is saying, all right? And so as the believers that are set apart to walk with Christ, to be a light to people in a dark world, we have to figure out what we believe and how do we talk about these different topics. And tonight is marijuana. So if I use the word marijuana, if I use the word weed, if I use the word cannabis, we're talking about the same thing, all right? So just want to put that out there because culture's always going to change. But I think God's word will stay the same, and we can learn, and we can look and learn. So here is my goal for you. I want you, each of you, to leave informed tonight so you can engage the culture and be influencers, not just people that get washed away with this topic and don't know. So there's thousands of resources. There's YouTube videos. There's pastors that speak to this. I am not a marijuana expert, all right? But I have done my research and I have spent time and I'm going to try my best to give you facts and information and practical things, and then God's word, all right? And if you have questions, if I'm confusing at the end, I'll stay up here. I'd love to answer questions because there's tons of different topics. There's the medical side of marijuana, and then there's just the recreational side. We'll talk a lot more about the recreational side of it, all right? But to start, in Texas, it is illegal, all right? Romans 13 is where we go to that. You cannot get by that, all right? You are breaking the law if you smoke weed. But I want to talk about, because maybe my daughter, who I showed you, when she's 16, your age, it might be legal. And so what do we do then? We don't need to start trying to figure out what we believe or wait till that happens. We need to know now. We need to study God's word. The Bible says that as believers, we should be ready with an answer. And I think we can look at some answers. So here's just a couple people I'm talking to in the room. The first one is this. You literally don't even know how to say marijuana correctly. You're like marijuana, okay? And you've never, if it happened, you wouldn't smell it. You wouldn't even know, okay? And that's okay. I'm glad you're in the room. That's amazing. I want you to be ready to engage the culture, all right? You're that first group. You're that first group. I want you to be ready to engage the culture. The second group, you've thought about it. You have friends that maybe have done it, and you thought, man, I'm going to try to rally my friends. We're going to go to Colorado. I want to try it one time. Or it's a bucket list thing. And here's what I would encourage you today. Take all your preconceived notions and listen and be warned. Let's look at the scripture. Let's see what it says. All right? The principles that God offers. And then the third is just people that are already maybe have done it or are doing it, and it is part of their life. And I would just say, hey, let's listen and be loved. So two of those things is a lot of listening. And I would just say that you can learn and learn something new here. And there's questions. There'll be time for that at the end with me up here. But let's jump in. Let's dive in, all right? I've been studying the book of Galatians. Anybody read Galatians before? It's awesome, all right? It's about the freedom we have in Christ. And I thought it was really cool. My wife and I were talking, and part of the way Paul uses his argument as he talks about freedom of Christ is he does this. He tells his personal story. And then he shares the world's perspective and what's going on. He talks about Peter and just different things that's going on in the world. And then he finishes by giving the church's biblical perspective on the topic, okay? So I figured let's just follow what Paul does in Galatians. I'm going to share my personal story with this. I'm going to tell you about the world and what it says about it. And then we'll finish with the church's right response to it, all right? But before we jump into my story, I thought we would start with all agreeing that for those that raise their hand and say they want to follow Christ, we would all agree that our lives are a picture to the world, to the unbelieving world. It is a picture of the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says this, "So we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." So for all of us in the room, for those that are Christians, our lives are a picture of the gospel, all right? And you can either move people to see the gospel more clearly, or you can make it harder for people to see Christ, all right? So I just wrote down that we want to make the most accurate, true, inviting picture of the gospel, which means we are representing him in everything we do. And specifically to the topic on marijuana, how we talk about it, how we deal with it, if it becomes legalized, we, the Christians, have to respond. We are showing an unbelieving world a hope in Christ, all right? So here's my story. I grew up in Plano, Texas, right down the road. And I grew up in the church. My parents loved God. My grandparents on one side were charismatic pastors. The other side, Methodist members for 50 years, we became Baptist, all right? I would say my church was probably a dead church, which just means there wasn't a lot of life transformation. But my student ministry, I saw a lot that the Lord was doing. My life was consumed with sports. I told you I love sports. That led me to be with a different crew than my church. And so my sophomore year of high school at a school called Vines High School, all right? AKA, the nickname is called The Pharmacy. All right, no joke. And when I was there, not because of the school, but because of my own rebellion, I started to experiment with drinking, with smoking weed, and taking pills. And part of my story is weed. It was my preferred way to get high. That was part of my life. I smoked. No one knew. I hid that sin from my parents. Here's why it was sin. I was seeking to get high. I was going after pleasure. And also, I was in Texas, which it is illegal by the law, right? And so I was seeking to not to gain friends or any of that. I did it because I loved the feeling. I was a pleasure seeker. I was not living that James 5:16 freedom, which you hear all the time at Watermark, and you should count a blessing, which is, hey, confess your sins, pray for one another, and you will be healed. I was not being healed. I was living a double life, all right? I was deceitful. I remember my older brother one time. So part of my story, I threw, my dad had a rent house, and I threw a party in that house. And now that house is actually my house, and it has been redeemed. It's awesome. But that party, I remember I smoked weed in the master closet, which is now my master closet today, all right? It has been redeemed, all right, by the Lord. It's awesome. Here I threw a party. My brother found out a couple days later, and he did not believe it because I had so deceived him, my older brother Cody. And so he went to my mom and he said, Chase threw a party. One, he was a snitch, okay, for that one. That was messed up. But he told my mom, I get a call. I was not at home, and I see my mom's name pop up, and I remember just being fearful. And at that time, when I got that phone call, I was high. I had smoked weed. And I remember I answered it because she had called a couple times. And she asked me, hey, Cody just said you threw a party. Is that true? And I had a choice. I could have come clean. And I lied to my mom right there on the phone. And I kept that sin. And it took me not till another year to come clean from that. And part of that story is God used sports where I got hurt, and smoking was still a part of my life. And I remember laying in my bed one night, the guy that was in the car was spending the night that we had smoked weed with. And I just go, dude, I'm done with this. Like, I have friends that don't care about me. I am living a lie. My parents think I'm this good kid. I'm not. And Romans 5:8 stuck in my head. And here it is. But God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, when I was at my worst, he died for me. Chase, he chose me to be in his family, that my sins of my past had not defined me, but he was setting me apart to walk with him. I did not smoke again from that day at 17. I have not smoked weed. I have been drunk. I have been clean of that stuff. And praise God, by the grace of God, that is true. And so that's my story. That's where my story comes from as I talk about this topic. And honestly, David knew that was part of my story and is one of the reasons why he asked me to share. And the guy, just to finish that story up, the guy who I smoked with and was in the car with is now in my community group at Watermark. How crazy is that? He's in my community group. We're walking after Jesus together. So 2 Timothy 3:1-7 says this, but understand that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Man, that was me. Having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, avoid such people. When I read that, that is my story. I was a dude that was stuck in the fog of my sin, apathy of weed, no self-control, lover of pleasure, chasing after my next high. And I'll tell you that it was a heart issue. It wasn't the drug's fault. It was a heart issue for me. And so part of, if it were legal, I'll just say I would not smoke it. And here's why, because there's already a ton of barriers that push people away from Christ. Look at that list. That can push people away from Christ. And I don't want to add another thing that could keep Christ from getting his glory. He's already going to get his glory, but I don't want to be a hindrance. I don't want to be a stumbling block. So that leads me to the second thing, the world. Let's look at what the world says. And we're going to look at what is marijuana, why do people do it, and what would our culture say about it. So this will be a little more practical, all right? Try to hang with me. So what is marijuana? Marijuana, also called weed, herb, pot, grass, bud, ganja, Mary Jane, dank, good giggles, Houdini, green goddess. These are real. I found these out. Anybody else got another one? I'm sure you do. Those are names of marijuana. Okay? Cabbage, I hear people. All right. I saw one. It was called alligator cigarette. I thought that was pretty crazy. But those are the names. Marijuana, all right? You can smoke it, you can drink it, you can eat it. Edibles, all those things. It is the most illicit drug in the U.S., meaning it's illegal and it's sold and changed hands, all right? And there are two main components of it, all right? Two main components. There's THC and there's CBD. THC is the psychoactive drug that gives you the high. It's the part that messes you up. The CBD, this is true of it, and I tried to be unbiased in this. CBD has been proven to help with some medical things. So if you just took CBD, you wouldn't be high. It would just be like an oil, all right? I'm not saying I'm for that. I know believers and Christians that do that, and some people would say that is not sin, okay? So if you want to talk about that later, we can talk later. But that's what it is. That's what marijuana is, all right? It's from a plant. Why do people do it? Most people smoke weed to get high, period. Most people. There are a few that use it for medical purposes, but the most common reason that people smoke weed is to get high, all right? Let me tell you what getting high is. It literally, the definition is creating an altered state of mind or consciousness. Sounds similar to drunkenness in that it changes who you are, all right? It's an altered state consciousness. Scientifically, the drug and chemical alters the cells throughout your body. So when you smoke, it goes straight to your brain, and it's known as a feel-good or euphoric state, all right? So most people smoke to get high. Getting high alters our body and our natural state. Here's just more examples of that. Marijuana overactivates parts of the brain that contain the highest number of these receptors. This causes the high that people feel. Here's other effects. I'm just going to list them to you. Altered senses, for example, seeing brighter colors. Altered sense of time, changes in mood, impaired body movement, difficulty with thinking, problem solving, impaired memory, hallucinations, right? Psychosis, if there's a lot, delusions in high doses, and the hallucinations is also in high doses. So that's just it, okay? If you didn't know anything about it, I'm giving you some of the information. The medical purposes, medical marijuana, a lot of times people say, I need a medical card to go get weed to justify smoking weed. That is true, all right? But there are also cancer patients, people with Parkinson's, that they have done some studies. Some of them show that it helps them. Some of them show that it does nothing and they're just high, okay? That's true too. So what does our culture say about it? If it's used to get high and it's used for medical purposes, if it were legal in Texas, how would we view it as Christians? Or what is the culture saying about it? Not as Christians yet. They're fighting for it. They want it to happen. They want it to be legalized. Austin especially, all right? The Bible, one of the arguments that people have said to me often when I've talked about this topic, and a lot of times it's students that already are smoking weed, and they'll come and they'll say, if God created it, how can it be bad? It's a plant. God designed it. It's not morally bad. Well, let me ask you the question. Is alcohol a sin? That's a bad question. Drunkenness is talked about in the Bible all the time. I'm saying to get high, to use the drug, there's a difference in alcohol and weed, which we'll talk about in a sec. But at the end of the day, they're making the argument, Genesis 1:27, a plant designed by God, that's not morally wrong. Another thing the world would say, it's encouraged. Professional athletes, the video I showed you, Hollywood has its own section called stoner movies. And it just makes light. It's apathetic people sitting on couches, playing video games, and acting crazy, right? There's music, Wiz Khalifa, other people, rap, where music videos just have smoke blowing. You saw the smoke in that other video, right? So the world is saying that. It has its own day, 420. It should be legal. Legalized campaign in 2011. This is a crazy stat. There was more medical dispensaries in Colorado than there were Starbucks. Who likes Starbucks in here? Come on. Nobody? A few people? Okay, that's good. part of the way you react to it. You eat a ton of food. You are a different person. Other thoughts, the other side of that. It's a gateway drug. It's on the Say No to Drugs ad. Another statement is that you can't regulate how high you get. Whereas alcohol, you can drink a percentage. You know that a beer has 4% and you can know where you're at. When you smoke weed, it might come from a different plant or a different strain. And if you smoke that one two times and you smoke this plant two times, you might be really high and you might not be high at all. How do you know? It's not regulated. That's part of the argument as well. Driving under the influence. The arrests have gone up like crazy where it's been illegalized or where it's been legalized. Sorry. There's studies that say it impairs learning, judgment, and memory. Some people argue, well, dude, caffeine's a substance. What's the big deal? Caffeine makes you more alert to the world. Smoking weed, a substance, makes you numb, dull, and pulls you away from it. I've never heard an argument of it helps you to be more productive. Okay? And I'm not saying that just to speak down at that. So, in all that thing, the world, I've told you my personal story, the world. Now, let's look at the church's biblical response. I'm just going to share this, and I'm going to ask you some questions that you could write down. This might be really helpful to you in the future. So, cannabis, weed, is never mentioned in the scriptures, but there are a lot of God-revealed principles to guide and direct our thinking when we think about this, all right? And so, I want to ask y'all the first question, just what is the end game of the Christian life? What is the end game for the Christian life? Anybody? What should we be aiming at? Anybody want to answer? Jesus, yes, that's a great answer. It's either Jesus or God every time, one of the two. Yeah, aiming at God's glory, aiming right at striving to look more like Christ. He must increase and I must decrease. John 3:30. We're trying to imitate Christ. Did you know the word disciple is like saying mini Christ? You're trying to be a picture of Christ to people. And so our goal as Christians, our trajectory, our aim is to bring much to the glory of God. And so 1 Corinthians 10:31, let me just read it to you. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Man, that's hard to get around. Anything you do, that convicts me at so many levels, not just with marijuana. Here's the question I have for you. How does smoking weed lead to God's glory and my good? How does smoking weed lead to God's glory and my good? Write it down. Think about it. It's a good question to ask. Can it lead to God's glory? 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Here's my question with this one. Is smoking weed helping me be sober-minded? Because if we're sober-minded, that's the best chance we've got at resisting the devil. Being sober-minded. The devil is already sometimes owning us. Like, I don't need something else to put me out in the pasture like a wildebeest and a lion coming after it when he's by himself. We don't need that wildebeest to be impaired. The lion's pretty strong. He can go after him. So is smoking weed helping you be sober-minded? Let me just read a Christian author that I really respect. He said it like this. Marijuana has never been associated with engaged parenting. Regular marijuana use causes disengagement, dulling individuals into long-term, slow, and subtle numbness, the opposite of a passion for Christ, the opposite of walking with him deeply. If you ask almost anyone who has formerly used cannabis on a regular basis, he will speak about the phenomenon. To confirm this testimony, studies have shown a high correlation between regular cannabis use and clinical diagnosis of amotivational syndrome. Amotivational, the opposite of motivation. It is laziness and apathy at its highest, all right? Let me jump into 1 Corinthians 6:12. There's a lot of information. I know I'm going fast. 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. I will not be dominated by anything. I'll tell you, when I smoked weed, I was dominated. I know that it was not helpful to the sports I played, to the school things I did. It just wasn't. Marijuana studies have shown from New Zealand, from Duke University, said that people that smoke daily marijuana have lost at least 8 IQ points until they're 38 if they don't stop. So it affects your brain. It does. So they're losing the mental ability in that. 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. So does weed build you up? Does it build others up? A great question, even if it's not to do with weed, is just, hey, does this stir my affections for Christ, or does it rob me of my affections for Christ? Does it stir me? Does it excite me to follow God, to know Christ, to have devotion to him, or does it take things away from me? And the same can be true. Does it build you up and build others? So look, this is hard, and we don't want to put a stumbling block. It's easy in the sense that, hey, I think as a Christian, it would be really hard to be fully devoted to Christ and want people to see us clearly and smoke weed to get high. I would say to show a clear picture of Christ, even if it's legal here, I would say it would be very hard. It would be a warning, the scripture would say, that you don't need it. In fact, I'll speak to this in a second, just that the abundant life in Christ is so much better than any high I've ever experienced. I've experienced different highs. I've been so sick from being high. I've experienced good ones where I was like, man, that was awesome when I was younger. And I would tell you, walking with Christ in community, with his people, being free of sin, is the most fun I've ever had in my life. It is 10 times, 1,000 times better than any drug, alcohol, any high or drunkenness you could try to achieve. So, although the Bible doesn't forbid it, we know that it affects the mind. We know that the recreational use of it seems to go against the scripture that says, hey, be sober-minded. It seems to go against that sobriety. And so I would just, in that, the church's right view, here's the church's right view to respond to it. We have a chance to speak life into this topic. We have a chance to speak life into the darkness, to be vigilant as the church, to share about it. I gave you some of those details just so you could continue to have conversations with friends. Maybe you know friends at your school that legitimately are potheads. I had a lot of friends. In fact, one of them that was a pothead that used to smoke with me is now dead at age 27 because he went further than me and started doing other drugs. I'm not saying every time you smoke weed, you end up on black tar heroin. I'm not saying that, okay? But I am saying that it can lead that. That friend is no longer alive because of drugs. So we should encourage one another to run the race, to fix our eyes on Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, with no hindrance, with nothing in our way. So whether it's alcohol, whether it's smoking, getting high, we want to have no hindrance as we follow Christ. So back to those three categories I told you guys. Right? What you're in, ready to engage, that category. I want to talk to you for a second, and then I'm done. I'll pray, and we'll go eat some super chicks. So for some of you that knew nothing coming in here about marijuana, I hope that you've been at least a little bit informed and not more confused, all right? If you are, I'd love to talk to you after. But you have all, you need to know that you can stand firm in what you believe. You can use these things to have conversations. You can love your friends at your school, all right? And to keep your way pure and be a person who shares the gospel with your life, keep doing it. Let's go. Let's keep running after Christ together. The second group that maybe, hey, you thought if it's legal, I'd do it, or I want to go to Colorado and, you know, senior year trip, whatever. I would just say this. I hope that you also heard and saw some of the warnings and the questions and the things to write down. And just, you have all you need in Christ. Hear me on that second group. You have all you need in Christ. You don't need to go get high. You have everything you need in Christ. Abundant life, life to the full. Walking with him is sweeter, is more joyful than any high. I'm saying that from experience, and I think the scripture, I've tested the warnings of scripture, and I have seen the blessings in my life. Jeff Parker says that all the time on our staff. And I would tell you the blessings far outweigh when I went against the warnings of Scripture. The third group, some of you even just might be like, man, this guy is once again, the church is saying, weed's the worst, get away, and I just disagree. And here's what I want to say to you. You might buy the lie that you are funnier, that your personality is better, that you do better when you're high, that people like you more, and you just need to hear that your personality, not with weed, not high, is beautiful and awesome, and God has created you, and we want to know that person. God loves that person. We would love to walk with that, right? It's kind of like the drunkenness thing where people like that version of themselves better. There's not a better version. God's version is perfect, is amazing. So you need to hear that. And you can turn from your sin, kind of like me. You don't have to hide for years. I went years with hiding my sin. You can walk in the freedom tonight. And so I love this phrase, today is the best day. So maybe it's not smoking weed. Maybe it's like hiding vapes from your parents. I don't know. You're not 18, some of you. Some of you are. But like whatever it is, whether it's lust, pornography, that was part of my story too. Today is the best day to come clean. There's so much freedom in walking in Christ. He is better than marijuana. Let me pray. I really believe that. He is better. So let me pray. Thank you guys. Y'all are awesome. Father, thank you for tonight and thank you for these friends. And I pray, Lord, just right now, even as I stand up here, Lord, I want it to be clear to my friends that you are where life is found. And so, Lord, if we have questions or fears or we still aren't convinced that you're better, that our heart issue, our wounds can't be healed by you, Lord, I pray that we would realize we have a gospel problem, we have an identity problem, and we need you. So help us tonight as we go to eat together and break bread. Lord, would you allow intentional conversation? Would you continue this conversation as we've just been equipped on the topic of marijuana and how a Christian should look at it and the questions to ask? Lord, help us not jump into something with just our feelings, but really to study your word, to seek you, and to follow you. We love you so much, and I thank you for these students, and I pray you would just use them mightily this summer. Pray that their time in the Word would be vibrant, and Lord, I pray for those that are getting to go to Haiti, Lord, that we would just get to be on mission and be the church. So we love you. It's in your name. Amen.